Hi, and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there?
Okay.
That's good. Hopefully you enjoy our show that we have to bring you today. Mm-hmm. We're live right now on We're live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. We're live right now on that TuneIn app, which you can download on any electronic device, and let those who you know want to be a part of our show how to download that TuneIn app and how to find us through the search bar WWGH. We're live right now in the studio by calling 7403-839-944. If you have any questions or would like to be a part of our show, once again, 7403-839-944. You would think I could say all that without looking at a piece of paper.
Oh, no, absolutely. But the professional, they always use paper.
Okay, well, yeah. I sure got mine.
Yeah.
I get it mixed up all the time.
That's all right.
But anyway, welcome to A Voice of a People. Yeah. My guest today is Willie Harris Tap One, and I will get with him in just a few seconds here.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh. And we've been having a fun show, and the first hour was really magnetic, and I thank God for that.
Oh, me too.
Now, there was nothing special on the almanac for today, but yesterday it says, "The murmur of a bee, a witchcraft yieldeth me. If any ask me why, 'twere easier to die than tell." Wow. What do you think about that?
I think that what yesterday, let bygones be bygones, and let what was yesterday be, because that sounds demonic to me. And I think
but
we should just...
Yeah, this kind of stuff is on the almanac, you know?
Okay, well, the almanac need to be almanac. And, you know, we're going to go buy something else, because that right there was just straight craziness.
And this is the month of Memorial.
Who?
Memorial Day.
He ain't in this date, this month, did he?
Yeah, 25th. My sister's birthday is the 28th.
Okay.
Yeah. And Memorial Day is May 25th. Don't forget that. Mother's Day is Sunday.
Shout out to the llama, man.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day to each and all the mothers, grandmothers.
Yeah, you mothers.
Yeah, mothers. Grandmothers, aunties, anyone that was a mother, anyone who stepped in the role of motherhood.
Maybe
you weren't actually a mother, but you had to step in the role of motherhood. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you.
I was a mother.
Enjoy the weekend.
I was a mother for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. You know, a lot of people.
I hear women always say, I was the mama and the daddy. Well, I was the mama and the daddy for a while, too.
I've never been the daddy.
Oh, well, you should have been.
Why?
Well, I mean, you got what it takes to be a dad.
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
I can only be a mother.
Let me say this to you. There's a lot of dads that's got what they got about what you got, they daddies, or they ain't supposed to have them. But, yeah, you can get an exchange if you go to the right store.
I've never claimed to do anything in the masculine.
Me either. Me neither have I.
I am feminine.
Me too.
Completely.
Almost.
Through and through.
Oh, no, not all the way through, but Lord Jesus. Thinking about that man right now. Lord, lift me up where I belong.
No, never.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted your situation. Go ahead. You're supposed to be doing the thought of the day.
Yes.
You got to do chapping.
I'm on my way.
You
got to
do. Are we still doing Cheryl Lee?
No. Well, I guess we could.
Well, I mean, you know.
She's been cleared of that condition. I guess I should share with people that.
Oh, well, okay.
All the prayers that have gone forth for her worked.
That's good.
Because she has been declared cancer-free.
Cool.
And we claim that, and we thank God for that.
And
absolutely.
I tell you, I hope that she understands a lot of people, because my ex-sister-in-law was going through this now, but they got her in hospice now. And it's just eating, man. Taking care of your body, nourishment, doing the right foods and stuff, man, is important, especially if you done had a bout of cancer or whatever. Okay, we ain't supposed to say the word. Because, you know, you can't say some words anymore. YouTube want everything blanked out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a bad word. I think it's a dirty word. I think it's a word that carries a death sentence with it. when you talk about cancer. Okay. And I don't like hearing it myself.
No, no.
I was cured of cancer myself in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I had lung cancer.
Mm.
And the doctor who God chose to do the job told me God chose him to do the job.
Mm.
So he was able to remove it from my lower right lobe and just cut it all out without chemotherapy and radiation. And they only gave me 2 years to live.
My goodness, man. God, you ain't good.
And this was, well, like 2001. So how many years? 25 years.
Mm.
Praise God. He is capable of anything far beyond our imagination. Like Willie have come here today talking about the awesomeness of God. And he is truly awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And
no one
can compare with our God. Not me, not you, no man that sits on a throne on this earth super exceeds our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one. But yes, I'm alive and well today because of that.
That's a good testament and testimony.
I give him praise.
And
I
thank
do.
You, thank you for sharing that with us, you know, because a lot of people out there don't realize you just got to keep relying on God. And then a lot of times it's like, okay, we prayed for people and then they end up and they die. And so you question yourself, did I pray right or were the prayers working? You know, everything is not for everybody, okay? And not only that, God heals who he wants to.
That's so true.
That's what people don't realize.
Ooh,
picks and chooses who he wants to. He heal one that don't need it and don't deserve it from your standpoint. Just like somebody said, just throughout the situation that we're in, said, man, now, I done did all this to my body, and I'm still around, and here she is dying. You understand? So the next day, the Lord gave him something. Did he end up in the hospital?
Mm-mm.
The Lord said, well, now, you understand. So God heals who he wants to.
Yes, yes, he does.
Okay. And he said,
and
what?
He saves who he wants.
And he saves who he wants, yeah. Now, you can get a part of the savement, whatever you want to call that. You can be a part of that, you know, because if you do the things that's necessary, like give your spirit and your soul and your heart to God, mainly just your soul, because your spirit already belonged to God. You ever notice that when you die, God never talks about the spirit? He never talks about doing anything to the spirit.
He says it goes back to him.
Because it's him. But now yes. That soul, he'll whoop that soul up. he beat the soul up. He'll put the soul.
Your mind, will, and your emotions. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thoughts are the seeds.
Yes, they are.
This is a thought for today.
Go
As
ahead.
Thoughts are the seeds of all actions, let me plant only good, pure seeds so that the fruit will be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So we only want to think the best.
Oh,
even when you're thinking bad, stop yourselves. Oh, that's a wrong thought. Let me redo that. Let me think again. Okay? All right. So, as Willie brought our attention to our prayers for one another, and Cheryl Lee was the one we were praying for months.
And continue to pray,
yes,
because
prayers
need to be fortified. In other words, you have to come back every now and then and
bring them up. Yeah.
And bring it up, you know, and reinitiate it and build it back, because prayers is what keep us hanging on, man.
Yes, it does.
You know, and
yes, it
so
does.
God wants us to continue to pray. He talks about praying constantly.
Which are seeds.
Yeah.
Those are seeds.
Yeah, that's true.
We're planting seeds, and those words are going forth, and those words have power. God said his words go out and accomplish what he sent it to do. So we're praying for one another. We're praying for our nation, our leaders, our city, our states, our loved ones, friends, neighbors, people that are sick, that are going through hard times. Just lift them up in prayer. Like I was saying, Cheryl Lee, she's been a success story. Praise God for that. And anyone else you know, you can call in sometime and give us some praise reports.
Oh, absolutely.
We're all here for that. And yeah. I would appreciate
Love to
that.
Hear it. Call
yes,
in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I did pray for everyone at the last show, so I'll pray for this one. Lord, I just thank you so much for our listeners. And I ask you to continually keep them, bless them, smile on them, and turn your countenance toward them and give them peace and success in this life and in this earth today.
I agree.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't forget Chappie's Hydraulic Oil Specialist. You can share that information with someone. They're located at 1325 North Main Street. Their phone number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place May, what we say, 16th?
For what?
17th.
No, it was the 16th.
16th?
Mm-hmm. You talking about the third May?
Third Saturday in May.
I think it was the 16th. But if you just want to check, let's go ahead and check.
Because I'm thinking it was the 17th. Let's see.
I'm trying to tell you it was the
16th. Yeah, he's right. It's the 16th.
Yeah, I'm always
beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Remember that. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Share that information with anyone you know that may need free produce. Right. You know what? You better take advantage of that stuff because they're talking about all these food shortages is getting ready to come.
I was just talking. We need to bring that up about canning foods.
Yes, canning foods, having gardens and...
Let me tell you something. I just found out. I didn't know that you can go to the store and go to the department where they got the fresh vegetables that are frozen. And you can pick any of them vegetables and you can can them. And when you can them, they have the same freshness as coming out of the garden. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I found that out just not about a week.
In the frozen food department?
You can go in the frozen food department, mm-hmm. and you can get mixed vegetables, corns, asparagus, whatever you want to, and you can can it.
What?
And it turns out just like you just had the fresh stuff and did it.
Wow. I did not know that.
I didn't either because we didn't really understand the whole canning process.
No.
And it can be, the canning process, if you do it really right, it'll take you about a day and a half, 2 days to do it. Because you have to have, first of all, if you do it with a pressure cooker that's set up for that, you know, you got to know how long to keep it under a certain pressure. And then how long to let it cool down.
Right.
And then what to do once it get down to zero pressure. And
I have
then
no
when
idea.
You let it sit out, you got to sit it out for 12 hours. I mean, a whole lot of stuff you got to do. And then you got to take the lid off, the rim off, and wash it. And they say, you know, you can use regular soap and whatever and wash it. You wash the whole jar because when you do pressure cooking, canning, it draws a lot of the impurities out of the food so that it'll be dissipated, so that you just have this the natural nutrition for the food. I think that's pretty cool. So some of the stuff comes out of the jar, so it gets on the jar. That's why you're washing it off. And that lady showed she washed that stuff off, and once she washed it off, she set it there for 12 hours. When she came back, you could tell it was ready.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm gonna tell y'all, I'm going to start doing that. So the first step is, and that's another thing I learned from Marion Matters, how to set up goals. I never set no goals up. I mean, I talked about some goals, but I never really just set it up. So anyway, first step is to get your jars.
Right, right.
The second thing is find out whether you're going to... Now listen, when you canning food, you're using the mason jars. Make sure you use the proper type of canning utensils, like the pot that you put it in. It's got to have that the bottom in it to where you can sit something on top of a rack. Mm-hmm. You can't sit the bottom, the glass jar right on the bottom because it'll break. So, I mean, it's just canning is cool. And you can do two ways of canning. You can can, like they call cold canning, which is you use steam, and that's still a pot. But it's not a pressure pot, and it doesn't do exactly the same because it works a little different. But the results are usually the same. It usually end up being canned and good. And I mean, you can can anything. But I never thought you could do that with frozen. They say, yeah, think about it. When they do frozen foods, frozen vegetables, that comes straight out the garden into a freezer, and they bag it. So it's not processed or none of that stuff. So you're getting the raw material. That's why they tell you to use those things. I never, a lot of times people be wanting to go, they say they want fresh vegetables, and that's all cool. But that stuff that they got in those stores that are fresh, that they have, that they've already frozen. I don't understand how people just call all the time. That, I mean, I get so many numbers, I don't even know these people.
I know.
Man, you get so many calls. But anyway, the vegetable thing, man, you can actually go in the store and get fresh vegetables. And even if you just want to go over to the produce and pick up carrots or greens or whatever, I'm telling you, canning is where it is.
Okay.
Because you can can food, and as long as you got it sitting up, once you've gone through the process, you're set. You know, you don't have to worry about, now you don't want to just sit it out. You can sit it anywhere. From what I'm understanding, you don't have to have it tucked away, but most people put it like in a place where, you know, like in a basement sort of thing. Or what do they call that, cupboard?
A cupboard, dark cupboard.
What they call that other thing, pantry.
Pantries.
What's the difference between that and the cupboard store?
I don't know. Pantries, probably bigger.
Probably. I think they are bigger. So anyways, that's what I'm going to get into, man.
Mm.
And you know, I'm going to tell you something. That woman told us, she said, now, this pressure cooker I got is a little expensive. She didn't say $400, $500 expensive. And that's just like the bottom end. I think the bottom end that she had was $436 or something. And then they went all the way up to $1,000 for just the pressure cooker. But with that pressure cooker, you knew exactly what you were doing. Now, the ones that was, and I know I'm just talking about this to be talking
that's,
about it.
No, but that's good information.
It's like I decided I'm not going to be able to spend that kind of money for no pressure cooker. So I'm going to have to, if I can't find one at the flea market or something like that, which I don't look. But I'm pretty, that's a good idea.
It is.
I think that's what I should do, is go see if I can find one at one of these big flea markets. They got, anyway, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm glad God brought that up. So anyhow.
Yeah.
You just need.
Be vigilant.
Yeah, yeah.
And watch out, because prices are sky high. And a lot of them were supposed to start in May, so watch out for your beef and your chocolate. It's going up. They said like 30%.
So,
and we see gas gone up. It was like $4.99 a week or so ago. Yep, which is $5.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So these things, and they said it's not that they won't be available, but can you afford to purchase it?
You know,
it's gonna be high.
Man, I just thank God for finances at this point. But everybody, people are all in all kinds of different brackets, man. And I'm going to tell you, I listen to people talk, going through this course again. You know, this thing about four or five months.
You've been going there? Okay, that's great, though.
Well, I think I started in April.
April, so May, June. Well, you've just been going. Last year, April?
No, I started before April.
You had to.
Yeah, what's the month before April?
January, February, March.
I think I started in February. No, January, February. I must have started in March. I think I started in March. I'm not for sure. I know I've been going there for a while, and I only got like 2 weeks left.
Because you was talking about it when you were here last, and you weren't here in April, so yeah. It must have been March or February. Right in there somewhere.
Yeah, could have been. Anyways, I've learned a lot from being in this program, man. I was telling them that this last show, man, that I appreciated how it turned me on to a lot of stuff, man. But produce, if you can get it. But if you can get it and can it. You can can potatoes. You can can anything. Mm-hmm, you can can meat. You know, you can buy chicken. I wouldn't do everything. I mean,
I've seen that too.
You can. I know
pears, apples, all that. You can make jelly. I've made jelly once before, some grape jelly. But my mother, I'm sure your mother was too, an avid canner.
I didn't eat that stuff that she was doing. That. You can't can it raccoon and.
Raccoon.
I'm just kidding. But we did eat a lot of raccoon and groundhog coming up. I didn't understand. I didn't know. That's how we brought up. So we did.
Right.
You know, and it seemed like it was okay. I don't know if I could do it today. You know.
Oh, I couldn't either. Rabbit and all that. My dad used to go out hunting rabbit, bring them rabbits.
You know, that was like normal.
I know, it was. For a lot of people.
And squirrels and stuff. You know, you go out hunting for shit and stuff.
My mom make me help her clean that stuff. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was. Oh. Cleaning, the chitlin cleaning was the problem I used to have.
Oh, I wouldn't do that one, no. Yeah, let me leave home.
Well, if you don't want stuffed chitlins, just like the dude said, hey, man, he said, where you get these stuff? He said, I'm going to invite you over to the house to eat. And he brought him over, and while they was eating, the guy said, this is chitlins. He said, they stuffed chitlins. He said, stuffed chitlins to him and the dude eating the chitlins and stuff. He said, man, he said, what did you stuff the chitlins with? He said, I didn't, he said they came like that. He said it was stuffed when I bought them.
That is not acceptable.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're just eating chitlins, you might as well, because it's boo-boo anyway.
Oh, my God.
All that's boo-boo work. So, you know, and we used to have to do it, and then my mom and them had three different big tubs. The first tub was this, where the guts was in. The second tub was where you take and turn it upside down and squirt all the
increments out of it.
Yeah, that word out of it, okay? Then the third tub had that water in it that you had
clear water.
That you had to put in there, and then you got to put your finger in there and open up the hole and put your finger around the other end and make sure that it don't come out. And then you got to put this water in there and you do this up and down motion and run the water through.
Clean it up.
And then you pour it back in the tub number two. And then you had to still split that stuff open, man, and go in there and scrape all that fat and stuff out of there. And chitlins are not easy to clean. When you buy chitlins in the store, they're not clean. Even though they're clean, they're not totally clean. You got to still...
Intestines.
Yeah, you got... Yeah, well, you know, that's what we ate.
Yeah.
I don't know why we never ate cow intestines, but we did eat cow tripe.
Oh, I couldn't stand it.
I mean, well, honey.
Oh, God. Yeah. I said, no more, Mom. I can't eat that. No. Ugh.
We ain't no
and that was stomach, I think.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Pig feet, pig tails... Pig head, the head, you know.
I gave my son the other day. I said, come here, boy. I said, because you were telling me you were looking for these. And I got a pack of chicken feet. Mm-hmm. I said, here, remember we looking at the boy, you done put that stuff back there. He said, man, nobody, what you going to I said, man, you can make all kinds of dumplings out of chicken feet.
Ooh.
We used to dumplings, chicken feet, man, you put them in the water, boil them suckers down, keep boiling them and stuff. We used to just take a chicken, and it come here, and cluck him. And you cut his leg right off. Cut his leg right off. He'd be walking around on his stubs. He going to die anyway, you know, because we're going to cook him later.
Oh, my.
But you get that fresh feet. I'm only lying. We didn't do that to our chicken. We loved our chicken.
Well, Wooly's giving us a course on survival. It may get to that one day, but we're slowly on our way.
Man, let me tell you something.
Don't know what's going on in our world today, but I just know that every 5 minutes things are changing.
Well, you mentioned about cleaning squirrels and rabbits and stuff. That's like I told my son not long ago. I just tell him, I said, and I mean just literally this week. I said, bro, when you doing a rabbit, I said, you got to know how to skin him and not get none of the fur on his skin. I said, because if it do, it's hard to get the fur off of it. So once you skin him down, you got to make sure you turn all that stuff inside out. Then you get him down to his little feet, and you put your hand in there and pull it around his feet and then hit the neck. And you through with that rabbit. Mm. Go to the next one.
And they stink. Oh,
who stink?
Them rabbits. Once you start moving that fur, oh my gosh. We're talking about survival back in the day that our parents knew how to survive. They did now. They knew how to survive.
They definitely.
They could take anything and make a meal out of it for five or six children and adults at for a family.
Yeah.
Nobody was hungry. I know we had beans every day.
Mm.
Cornbread or biscuits.
Mm.
Maybe pork chop, a piece. Maybe a piece of fried chicken, you know. But I can say that my mom knew how to stretch a meal.
For one thing.
And survive.
We used to take and buy a whole chicken.
With hardly nothing.
They would take a whole chicken and cut him up.
Right.
You don't even hardly see chicken backs today.
No, we had them too.
We used to go to the store just to buy the chicken backs.
I like chicken backs.
Well, they was cheap.
I like it because they have all that crunchy on it, which I like my chicken crunchy anyway.
Oh, you're a crunchy woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like some crunches. I like crunching cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a phrase that we used back in the day. We were like, man, you keep messing with me, I'm going to have to crunch your cookies. I mean, seriously. You know, we did that. And then we found out that was the alternative lifestyle. That was a cry for that.
And not only that, makes me think of the Beverly Hillbillies. That's what they were all about.
Now, the Beverly Hillbillies, I was going to bring that up in class about a week ago. Because one young lady was talking about her conditions, and I was going to tell her that when the Beverly Hillbillies first came out, they had a huge promotion about them. And I don't know if you remember this, Linda, but when they first came out with the Beverly Hillbillies, they were introducing Mountain Dew. And they used to ride around our neighborhood with that little old truck and give out Mountain Dew.
Really?
You don't remember that? I mean, you wasn't on the west side. But yeah, it was a little old truck, looked like Granny's damn truck. And it had a keg on it. And they was giving out, this is when they was introducing the drink, Mountain Dew. And so they was giving out little samples of Mountain Dew in little cups, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that we had seen a depiction of the Beverly Hillbillies, because these people was dressed like that.
Oh, my.
And then next thing you know, the Beverly Hillbillies. But the Beverly Hillbillies, we kind of missed that because we thought what they was talking about was normal. Now, when they got to talking about crawdad eggs and crow gizzards, we never went that far.
Yeah, they went far.
But we would eat crow, you know, pigeons and
pheasant. My dad used to hunt pheasants.
Now, pheasants is a delicacy compared to just regular, like, crow. And then we used to eat those other things, too. We used to call them Bob Whites. They were, I forget what those things are called.
They weren't quail, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, quail. I remember quail, too, yeah, but they're rare in our parts now, aren't they?
Yeah. They used to have a time. They used to turn stuff loose, and people could hunt it.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if they do that anymore.
I don't either.
I know people that had game property where they went on and shot stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They would turn stuff loose, you know, and let it grow in that area for a couple of weeks and get acclimated. And then they would come and hunt it.
Right.
You know, birds, different types of birds and stuff. Because that's how they got them foxes and stuff, I think, in those areas. Because remember, they used to do all that fox hunting and have 50, 60 people chasing after a fox, which is stupid as hell. You know, poor little fox, they just ran him to death.
Yeah, one fox, yeah.
You got all these hounds running after him and all this stuff. And they made, whatever. That's stuff there, man.
We were talking about something at the end of the first show. And I was supposed to remind you to finish it, and I don't even remember, but I just know we left.
I was telling you that we was talking about the fact that you said that you had never looked at that scripture about when Moses was in the cliff of the rock.
Yeah, I've looked at it, but I never got
you
that
never
concept.
Got the concept about the past, the future, and the present.
Or right.
The present, past, whichever, however you want to say it. And what I was telling you is that all those days that you were studying that, even though you didn't pick that particular part up, all the other things that you had been picking up, once you learned this, it just put it all together.
Right.
And then you're able to kind of do like you're doing now. You're like, you know what? I never thought about that. But now that you've thought about it, now that you understand it, all that other stuff that you've learned helps to support that particular idea.
Right, right, right.
So now you kind of understand about God's just everywhere all the time and how he's able to do that.
Yeah, and I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just didn't get it out of that scripture, but I'm going to go back and read that bad boy. Don't you think I'm not?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Study, show yourself approved.
Whatever that means, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, people say a lot of things that really, I'm gonna tell you something. Now, people do this, and I ain't telling people to do it or not do it. But to me, a lot of people think the word amen is an agreement, that you agree to something.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at when the original, the Lord's Prayer, the original one didn't have that at the end. He didn't say amen at the end.
Who didn't?
Jesus did.
Oh, you mean the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He used another word. He said, "The breath that is in me, you have breathed into all living things, and the light that's within you have shown me the way." And that's how he ended it, by letting God know that his awesomeness permeated his being. Okay. But when you say a prayer and you say amen,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like you just ending it, and then you don't.
Amen means so be it.
See, people say that, and then it could be that, because a lot of people use it as that, like they say, okay, so let it be or whatever. But like I'm saying, it's still almost like putting but in a sentence. It kind of negates everything before that, because you're getting ready to do another thought. I don't know, man. I grapple with that, but I stopped saying it. Because I noticed that people say it all the time in church, especially when they want the pastor or whoever speaking to say something. He say, amen, and he'll want everybody. Now, if I had wanted to say amen to agree
and
with you.
And only if you agree.
But see, by you saying amen, you're telling me to agree.
You agree, yeah.
You know, and
that's
see.
That's what it means. So be it. Whatever that person is saying, you're saying, I agree. But if you don't agree, don't say amen. Because it might not be right. It might not even be agreeable. Because everything that comes over the pulpit is not agreeable. Because he may have a different concept of what you have or what it actually means. So I'm not going to say amen if I don't agree with what you're saying. I'm not going to do it. I learned that the hard way.
I think that as far as the rules that we follow when we go into various different types of worship, and I'm being careful trying to not get into the church aspect of it, because we done blew that so far out of proportion. That's why I say, man, God's just going to have to come and just redo all this stuff. Because when you have people saying that they're Christians, which I stopped using that term as well,
mm-hmm.
because the people that consider themselves Christians is nothing like them.
Or
nothing.
Profess to be, right. That doesn't mean that they are.
They're
just professing it, yeah.
The fact that they can hide behind that banner of being a Christian allows them to be able to do a lot of the heinous things that they've done to human beings, because they can hide behind it. There's nothing that God has created that allows you to hide behind in order to impose your way on other people and other things.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
just no way. God had no intentions on that. You know, that's man-made, all that, being over top of people and being in control of people. God didn't want you doing that. He wanted you to lead people, true enough, and give people information about himself and talk about his
because
goodness.
They're supposed to be agents of God themselves, so they're
and
supposed,
they're not
right.
They're not
right. They've gotten so far away from that.
It's the whole Christian faith thing is based off of nonsense to me, because I don't know what you're following anymore. First of all, Christ ain't on earth anymore. So how you following Christ now? You can say you're following his teachings. Where you really gonna get all them from? Do you really know what Jesus taught when he was on earth?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all written in the Bible. Whether you go by it or not is different.
Okay, so back to Enoch. So he only preached for those 3 years?
Yeah, on earth.
So he didn't preach the whole 17, 18, or 27 years before that? Just, what was he doing then? Just hanging, hey, God, hey, Jesus, what you doing? You know, I'm just waiting till I get 33.
Well, you know, he's from the beginning to the end of the Bible. He was the one who said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness.
See, so
even from the very beginning, he has always been and always will be.
And I agree with that, just because it's easier. And I believe that to be true, because that's kind of like what we were saying before about how God, how awesome yes. He is. You know, He's everywhere, anywhere. And He makes His own choices, and you do
yes,
it the
he
way.
Does.
And that's the thing we have to see. We as human beings have gotten so arrogant that we think we are important.
He gave me that word a few weeks ago. Arrogant. That people have. Believers are arrogant.
Oh, very, and that's why they can't do anything. You know, the powers that God has allowed us to have access to, we can't even pull them up.
Mm-mm. No, nor perform it.
No.
Or create it.
No. But the power's there.
Yeah.
He's given us His okay to use it,
mm-hmm.
provided you do what He asks you to do.
There you go.
And people ain't going to do it.
No, because there's conditions. There are conditions.
Well, it all started with how the woman fell in the garden.
Sorry. We're not going there. I am not having this conversation.
It all started with Eve in the garden. I mean, why do you think they call her Eve? Because that was short for evil.
I'm not going there with you today. I'm just not.
You know, but anyway, just in case.
Because I was mad with her myself just not too long ago.
Would he?
Oh, my.
You know, based off of what I'm hearing now, when we get to heaven, or in that part of consciousness, however you want to look at it, we're going to be able to recognize each other to a degree. It talks about that. Because think about what God, do you remember when the guy went to hell? And God, like I said, he's cool how He show you stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You remember when God, when He
the rich man.
You remember what He told Lazarus? You remember now, he had died and he went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dead.
Right.
He's in hell. And he can talk to Lazarus across the catechism, that big thing.
Catalyst, yeah.
So that means that he's able to communicate.
Yeah.
With that other side, and he was able to recognize Lazarus.
And see
and
him,
he was
yeah.
able enough to tell Lazarus, go back and just tell my people. So he recognized Lazarus after death. So what does that tell you?
Oh,
after
yeah.
death, once you both get into your places, wherever death is going to bring you, you're still going to have the possibility to be in that direction. There he go. There he is. That's the one. Lord, hold on. Excuse me for just a minute. Where you going? No, just hold on for a second. There he is. Go over there and you see Adam. Just kick him straight in the scrotum. Bam! But he going to have them protected, I think.
Because
he know a lot of people going to come up. Didn't I just say when you get to heaven and you're going to know folks?
Yeah, you just
said and then you're going to say that Eve is right there. She's the one that messed everything up for us and got us in this spot that we're in. And we so happy right now, so we're just going to forget about it. No, sir. No, sir, because now I'm going to tell you something else, too.
Wow.
When the rich man was in hell,
mm-hmm.
he had awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, all I need is a drop of water.
Yeah.
On
he
my
said,
tongue.
He said, go tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue. Oh.
So what I'm trying to tell you is God is letting you know. A lot of people, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to know nobody. Really? That ain't what he's saying in the scriptures?
No. That's not what he's saying.
And there's a lot of other scriptures that say, I saw.
Well, it did say Abraham. Is that who he said? Abraham's bosom. He saw Lazarus. I mean, he saw... What's the other guy's name? The rich man and Lazarus. It was Lazarus, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the bosom of Abraham. Let me see that scripture. I had to pull that up now.
But you know Lazarus is the same one that he raised from the dead.
That's not the same one.
You don't think it's the same Lazarus? Uh-huh. How you know?
No, I don't think that's the same Lazarus.
Now you're talking about you don't think. Now.
It tells you.
Because I don't know.
It separates him from the other Lazarus by saying the rich man. You know, who was eating
yeah,
every
but
day.
Rich, but the rich man wasn't Lazarus. He was talking to Lazarus.
No, that wasn't him. I don't know.
What you mean, though?
And see,
we don't know if that's the first.
He was sick. And right. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to profess it.
It could be. Don't make it so, but it could be, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, what would be really interesting is if all of that happened when Lazarus died the first time before Jesus came and rose him up. Now, if that would have happened then, that would have been, that's something else too. That would be some wild Lazarus right there.
Yes.
Because you're talking about after he talked to Lazarus, Jesus came and raised Lazarus back up from the dead. Did Lazarus ever talk about that experience? They never said. Never said. You think he had an experience?
And it calls it a parable about the relationship during life and after death between an unnamed rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus. Luke 16:19-31.
You can't go by that,
Luke. Well, that's the book.
You got to go to the Book of Enoch and figure it out. Well, that Ethiopian book, now I'm going to tell you the name of that because it's not completely an Ethiopian book, but it's Ethiopian. They have the oldest scrolls. And I don't know if you've been watching any of that stuff. Have you been looking at any of that?
What?
About the Bible that they actually have. The one that's got the 81 or 88.
Oh, no. I know. What's his name? The one who did The Passion of Christ. What's his name? Meg. Not Meg.
Hold your thought. I know who you're talking about. Because he played in Lethal Weapon, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Him.
That's the same guy.
He's coming out of that Ethiopian Bible. And he got a new movie that's supposed to be coming out, too, about Revelation.
You know, now we got to find his name.
Okay. You want me to read this? We have.
Yeah, go ahead.
4 minutes.
Oh, we that close to time again?
Yeah, that close again.
My time does fly when you're in the airplane.
All right. It's long, too. I can't read it all, I don't think. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. See, this man is in hell praying. For I have 5 brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Now, who rose from the dead?
Christ.
Okay. Now.
Still alive. Now and forevermore. And what are they trying to do?
Who trying to do?
They don't obey Christ. Oh, people don't. They're professing to be believers in Christ Jesus. If he was to come to this earth right now today, they'd do the same thing they did when he was here last time. Crucify him.
Yeah.
We have no God but Caesar.
Mm. That's powerful, man. I think that's a good way to end the show, too. You got to understand that there's a lot going on in the scriptures. That's why you got to go in there and you got to take a peek at it.
Right.
And
we're out of time.
We're out of time. And that's the one thing that God's going to tell you. You're out of time.
Out of time. Ooh, don't want to hear that.
Don't want to hear
it. Jesus, no.
Because, anyway,
Yes, we are out of time. Thank you, Willie. It's been a great show.
I enjoyed it.
I did, too. And hopefully our listeners has enjoyed it. Happy Mother's Day once again to those of you who are mothers or who had to step into a mother's role. Thank you for all that you have shared with others who needed you at the time they needed you, even your own and friends and neighbors. You know, we are mothers. So hopefully you enjoy your weekend, get flowers, go out to eat, do what you need to do. But as next time, be blessed. Thank you all.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk.